You're listening to Red Eye on Co-op Radio at CFRO 102.7 FM.
Last month, the Inuit Circumpolar Council hosted the Indigenous Peoples Global Summit on Climate Change in Anchorage, Alaska. From April 20th to 24th, Indigenous peoples and other observers representing 80 nations exchanged knowledge, ideas, experiences, and recommendations around the impacts of climate change. Stephen Lay is an independent environmental journalist who reported on the summit in Anchorage, and he returned to Canada yesterday and joins us now by phone from his home in Uxbridge, Ontario. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
I guess afternoon.
Yes, that's right, afternoon.
In Anchorage, did the concerns around the impacts of climate change differ from those at other events you've reported from?
Yes, and I think because the Indigenous peoples were expressing a direct impact on their livelihoods, they're finding that climate change is altering the weather patterns and making it difficult for them to raise cattle or grow crops or, continue in their normal ways of life.
So I take it then that you saw a variety of different impacts that were happening with different Indigenous peoples around the globe because it was such a widespread set of groups that were there.
Yeah, that's right. So you get Inuit who would be talking about how the ice is no longer safe to go out hunting because it's melting, to folks from the Andes who can no longer get any water because their glaciers are melting away. To Africans who are saying that the dry seasons are lasting much longer and become much more intense, forcing them to, go further afield to graze their cattle and goats.
Given the scientific evidence around climate change and its effect on Indigenous and other communities, why is there still debate around whether climate change is actually happening?
Well, there's, of course, a large segment of our society, a powerful segment of our society that prefers the status quo, want to continue our addiction to fossil fuels. And the media has played a confusing role in this, for the general public, particularly in North America.
So say more about that, the media's role.
Well, they have, in the last 10 years or so, offered it up as a political debate, as if this is something you either believed in or you didn't believe in it. It's as if scientific evidence and facts were just really matters of opinion.
What's the benefit to major newspapers and other mainstream media of creating a false debate around something that there is scientific consensus on?
Well, it's hard for me to know for sure because I'm not on the inside anymore. I think there's this the fact that big media are now large corporations, often owned by even bigger corporations, who have their own interest in keeping our economy running the way it always has run. They're not particularly interested in change, and I think that has an influence. And there's been a lot of active disinformation by various interest groups, particularly in the U.S., that have successfully and unfortunately lobbied to have what they call alternate points of view when we are really talking about scientific evidence, not opinion.
Do you think that economic problems like the job losses in Ontario and recent fears around a global recession make it more difficult for journalists to write about the environment?
Yeah, it's been difficult actually for quite a while. That is making it even more difficult. Many media outlets have cut all of their science and environment reporting staff as part of cost-cutting measures, but usually the sports and entertainment departments continue on as they have. And also, I think it's also become an excuse not to do anything new or different. We have this economic recession, so folks say, well, we got to tighten our belts. but we have to continue on in the same direction, and yet that's the direction that got us into this mess in the first place.
Do you think that Canadian politicians lend credibility to the debate over whether global warming is happening?
No, most of them have been badly misinformed and perhaps woefully ignorant on the subject. This is the issue of our time, and many of them simply don't understand, don't want to know, I think, and have their own vested interests that lead them to take a short-term view rather than the long-term view, intergenerational view that we really need right now.
Now, Evo Morales, the president of Bolivia, was also at the summit in Anchorage and will be signing the Anchorage Declaration. What's the significance of the declaration?
Well, Evo was unable to make it, actually, at the last minute, so he sent his foreign minister, who'd signed the declaration there. Evo is an indigenous person, as well as his foreign minister is as well. The importance of having a head of state sign the declaration means that it can then go before the UN General Assembly for them to review, possibly vote on it. I think the president of the UN General Assembly said that he would indeed bring it forward as well. And from that point, the indigenous people want it to be want their viewpoints, their participation to play a formal part of the upcoming negotiations in Copenhagen. Those negotiations in Copenhagen are on what will the new climate treaty be. This is sort of our one big shot to get our carbon emissions down on a global basis.
Stephen, how do you think people can get accurate and, you know, I think what's important information on environmental issues despite the coverage by mainstream media organizations?
Well, it's not very easy, I have to say. I have the personal experience of many, many people I know or run into and who have never heard of any of the things I've written about, and I'm not the only one writing about these things. We're not well served by our current corporate media, so folks have to look for alternative media, such as Red Eye, I think, would be a good starting spot for those on the West Coast. The Internet can provide some of this information. NGOs are also playing a really important role now in giving us, you know, good quality information. Sure, they got a point of view, but so does corporate media. I think the public has to be more active in finding its information because we're not going to get it on the television set.
Well, it's been good talking to you this morning, Stephen. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. I've been speaking with environmental journalist Stephen Lehue, who joined us by phone from his home in Uxbridge, Ontario.
And I've joined Lorraine in the studio again. It's very encouraging to hear somebody who works in the media and so on and saying, well, why don't you folks tune in to Red Eye or more broadly to Vancouver Cooperative Radio and the Ranger programs there? And I think it's said not as a way of boosterism or flattery. It's said as a way of saying, we are in tough times. We do need better information. We do need different vehicles for discussion of these issues. And here is one of those ways, Vancouver Cooperative Radio. So while we feel boosted by it, it's a sort of an encouragement to you, the listener, to say, do you want to keep these vehicles that do give you better opportunity to grapple with, to share ideas about, and to be effective in acting in transforming the world so it is more just and it is more peaceful and it is more sustainable in a total ecological sense? If that makes some sense to you, and if this is a value to you, if it is something you tune into occasionally, if it's something you've hit just by spinning the dial and suddenly come across it and feel, hey, I don't hear that anywhere else, this is something I want to hear more of, then give a call to 684 8494 and pledge your support for Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
And we have another person to add to the list of many people that we've received support from this morning and that we want to thank wholeheartedly. This is Bill Rapp Turner called in to renew his sustainer membership, and we thank him very much for that. Sustainers are very important for us. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but Bill has taken us up to $965. So we're very close to our $1,000 total. That's great. We're hoping to shoot over the top. So join Bill. Give us a call here, as Mordecai said, at 684-8494. And the music that we're going to listen to now is Kishore Kumar and Lata Mangeshkar. Well, I'll get the title right. It's Hey Maine. I'll practice that for when I come back.
हे मैंने कसम ली, हे तूने कसम ली,